Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, October the 20th. Joining me is my co-host, Kristen Baczynski. And we're going to be talking about the exciting race at Martinsville yesterday and the upcoming race at Texas as things get dicey going down towards the finale. So what do you think, Kristen? The guys we picked, I think we jinxed. You picked Johnson, I picked Harvick last week, and they had a rough day.
They did. How about it? Well, you know, thanks again for having me, Vince, and woof, what a race that was. And real quick, you said it's October 20th. It's actually October 27th. We don't want to confuse anyone listening. Yeah, Martinsville, wild, wild race. And honestly, I think our picks, like you said, we just jinxed our picks because both of them just terrible. But, you know, it like Harvick, though, well, I mean, I'm sure you've read what he had to say. I don't, that wasn't so much him, you know, his fault. But Jimmy Johnson, their team, they just couldn't catch a break yesterday.
Oh, you mean with him and Kenseth getting together?
Yeah, and he, you know, I don't know if you saw him say, like, he will not win the championship. Harvick was not a happy camper.
No, it's just ironic that he goes by Happy Harvick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was not happy yesterday, but I guess, you know, Ryan, when you're racing for a championship, and you know, and Kenseth's response, I felt, was extremely, he manned up. You know, he said that, you know, Harvick had every reason to be upset. He apologized. I'm sure that didn't take, you know, the hurt off Harvick, but, you know, at least Kenseth had, you know, manned up and said what he did.
Yeah, and that kind of puts Harvick now in the second half of the final eight, along with Brad Keselowski, who had a transmission let go. He was all of a sudden, they were doing on a restart, and thing you know, he's on the outside backing up and blocking the field, which caused you know, the second red flag of the race, and it was kind of odd. I guess they just wanted to make sure they got everything clean, having two red flags yesterday. That one kind of set the tone for the finish.
Yeah, it was. It really was a wild race, and you know, I get that have that NASCAR app on my phone, and I wasn't actually sitting watching the race because, I mean, we're in Eagles country here, so towards the end, my family made me turn it off to watch the Eagles game for a little bit at my dad's house. But then when I kept getting these alerts and alert and alert, I was like, yellow flag, red flag, yellow. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I have to turn this race on. You know, I mean, I watched the beginning, and that was kind of, you know, here and there, some excitement. But, wow, for the end, it was just nonstop craziness.
Do you have cable or DirecTV or one of them?
I don't know, digital cable, whatever that is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you got Xfinity or one of them, at least with DirecTV, or how would you call it? You might want to get picture in picture so you can watch both at the same time.
Yeah, they kicked me right out of the room. They were like, what time does Eagle Camp start? Okay, well, you know what, Kristen? NASCAR's off. I'm like, oh, great, thanks. So then I found my way to another TV in that house.
Yeah, that's kind of what you have to do. At least you had another TV you can go to. But it was a pretty interesting race. And that's one thing about the short tracks. It's always a fun race to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so, I don't know, it was exciting. You know, I have to say, I was really happy with the outcome. I mean, I was happy for Dale Jr. I think he deserved to win the race. I think he raced really good yesterday. I did miss, you know, a portion of the race, Vince, but I mean, it seemed like his, you know, his pit crew, everyone was pretty flawless yesterday. So I think he deserved that grandfather clock that he said he's been trying to get for how many years now.
I know, and you know, I did watch the whole thing, and he did have a good run. He made his way, stayed out of good trouble. But then Gordon had an awesome car. So it was a matter of who it was going to come down to, either him or Gordon. And being, I guess, Junior had the lead with all the late yellows that came about. He was able to pick his line and for the restarts, because if you had the inside, it seemed to be the line to take on the restart. The outside had a tough time getting around, and so putting Gordon on the outside made it a little tough for him. And because if he would have won, he's the only Hendrick Chase driver left, and if he would have won, I would have put him over, you know, automatically into the final. As it stands now, with Junior winning, he's the first non-Chase or eliminated driver to win a Chase race.
Wow.
But the good thing is he got the grandfather clock.
He did.
Had come close a few times because I think he's finished third, second, and second a couple of times, but he never took home the clock, and I guess at the time his dad wasn't giving any up, and stepmom wasn't going to give him any, so he had to go earn it. So he finally got it. But that was good to see. It made the Junior Nation fans go crazy.
Who did they ever? It was funny because, Nathan was watching the end with me there. And I mean, every time they showed any kind of angle of the crowd, everyone was on their feet for the last couple, laps that he led. And my mom said, Mason said, "Mommy, are all those fans of Dale Jr.?" I said, "No, buddy, they're not." I said, "But for some reason, 95% of race fans like Dale Jr. and they're going to cheer for him if they're his fan or they're not his fan." And I said, "That's why they're all up on their feet cheering." And it was just cute the way you said it, because, they were. Non-Junior fans, I'm sure, were cheering for him. Except for unless you're a Jeff Gordon fan.
Well, you have your diehard Gordon fans out there that were a little upset. But
yeah.
One thing I noticed about the track, and I had gone down to Martinsville years ago, like when I first put the show on the air, it was under another name. It was called the Pit Pass.
Uh-huh.
And we had worked out a deal with Martinsville to give away tickets to the race. So now I'm doing the show from just outside of, in New Jersey, just outside of Philly. So we had a trivia contest to see who can call in and win a pair of tickets. And that included, it was 10 cup tickets and 10 truck tickets. So I gave them away in pairs, like a pair of cup tickets and truck tickets to go with it.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was so as a show host, I had to get down there and watch the race. So we watched it. It was all on the backstretch, and that was closed yesterday. They had all the signs there, and it wasn't that many rows of seats. Cause if you saw the aerial shot, that's where there was a train that ran along the back straightaway there off the track,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the seats were for. But for the trucks. For the truck race on Saturday, the races were the seats were general admission, so you could sit anywhere.
Okay.
I wish I could have tried to score that again for the next year, but they kept it close to the track. So now that I'm stationed close to the track, I'm gonna have to work something for next year.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely, that'd be great.
Because I know
really
Martinsville
great.
Always has a booth at the motorsports show that's now in Oak, PA. I don't know if you've been
mm-hmm.
to that one.
They, I have.
They've always. Oh, you got to get down there.
Yeah.
They always have. They always have a booth there. There, them, Dover, Richmond, Pocono.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pocono has. Dover, I think, has something that Nathan would like. It's a tire changing setup.
Oh, neat. Oh, he would love that. And where'd you say it is? Hope, PA?
Yeah, the convention center there.
Okay.
It's usually around mid-January.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah, he would love that.
Now that he's getting bigger, he'd be able to handle that electric electric drill wrench to undo the bolts.
Yeah. He's this little guy who just happens to just be sitting here next to me because he's such a little nosy boy. He's got to listen to everything. But he has experienced a lot in the garage area and in the pits, you know, over the last couple of years. And I think he would definitely enjoy probably doing something like that. It can't be that far from us. I would have to look into where it's at.
Let me see if I can figure it out. It's you come down the Northeast Extension.
Right.
Get off at Valley Forge. Get on. Stay on 76 to get on 202 West, and I think it's an exit or two down. Or 202 South, and it's an exit or two down.
Oh.
I know you're like, well, are you in Hazleton or are you around that? Because I remember.
Yeah, I'm actually in the Lehigh Valley. So I am south of Hazleton. I am probably, depending on traffic and all that good stuff, probably about an hour north of Philly. Maybe a little less, depending on where.
I'm familiar with Hazleton because I had taken a sign up for one of them, a free ski weekend at Eagle Rock if you sat through their timeshare spiel.
Yeah, how'd that go? Did you like it there? It's a nice place. Real nice place.
Yeah, it sure was. I didn't buy any property, but I had a nice weekend skiing.
There you go.
And we used to stay. When my wife and I were dating, we used to go to Pocono. We went from like 86 through 92. We used to camp out at Fern Ridge Campground. I don't know if that's still there, though. It's,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know
turnpike.
If it's still there.
If you got off the turnpike at Pocono, it used to be exit 35, you get on I-80 east, go down one exit to Route 115, and it's on the southbound side of I-80.
Okay. It's probably still there. I'm not too familiar. You haven't been to Pocono in a while, have you, Vince?
No, I haven't. It's been a long time. That's when they ran 500 miles in the blazing sun and June and July before they spread the races out. Well, they just shortened it up when Mattioli passed. They kept that at 500 miles to keep him happy.
Yeah. I remember the days of 500 miles and being there to, you know, cover qualifying. And that was when they were still real strict about, you know, the garage area and pit road. You know, you had to wear jeans or long pants, closed-toe shoes. You know, you had to wear short sleeves, no tank tops. And, you know, then we're carrying our equipment and, you know, running, trying to get driver, and interviews, and running the drivers down, trying to catch them. And I just remember coming home, and I'd have the worst farmer's tan on my arms. I'd be burnt to a crisp on my neck, and I would be dead to the world. I mean, just, I wouldn't make it back up on Saturday. Yeah, because qualifying was on Friday. Well, I wouldn't go back up Saturday, and then we'd go back Sunday, of course, for the race to cover the actual race. But, man, Saturday, I just remember spending that in bed. Tired.
I could imagine. Being, you're so fair-skinned there. The sunblock probably wasn't strong enough.
No, my Polish skin, blonde hair, blue eyes, did not mix too well, Vince, with the, with the heat at Pocono, but... What are you going to do? It was fun, though.
Well, it looks like our guest is calling in. Let me bring him to the air. I'd like to welcome to the show Pete Knappenberger, host of Racers Roundtable, and also a local racer. And welcome to Garage Talk Live with Vincent Kristen.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm peachy. It's a Monday night, and I'm doing a radio show. All is good.
Well, that's good. Might as well give
your show a plug. When does it air and where?
Well, we do it a little differently. We're not live. We actually do a podcast from a local we do it from a lot of different local racetracks, but when it's cold up here in Pennsylvania, we basically take it to a neighborhood bar room and do it upstairs at the bar, and we record the show, and then we air the show immediately as soon as we're done recording it. So we record it on Wednesday nights right now, and then about 5, 10, 15 minutes after we're done recording it, then we put it up, and the podcast is up, you know, for forever, really. I mean, we never really take anything down. So they can listen to old episodes and anything that's coming up, you know, in the next couple of weeks or whatever.
Well, I guess you might as well let our listeners know where they can find you. Is it on your website? You have a special podcast site you go to?
No, they can go to racersroundtable.com, and you just go to the main page, and it actually, you see a little red, I guess you call it a bar, and it just says click here, and then you click the show that you want to listen to. Real simple.
And, Pete, you not only do Racers Roundtable, and, of course, you do that with your lovely wife, and you have different guests on and stuff, but you're also you also race. And maybe talk a little bit about that to the to everyone listening, what kind of racing you do and where and all that. Before you came on, Vince and I were actually talking about Grandview, because I think you said you raced there, right?
I have raced small cars, yeah. I don't. There's Saturday night there, they usually have, they're called Sportsman Modifieds and Late Models. I do not run those. Those are all bigger cars with, like, the, you know, the eight-cylinder engines in them. I run small cars, which is really popular here in the Pennsylvania area. A local racer named Richie Tobias created a division, probably back in 1999. It was called the Slingshot Division. And a slingshot is actually a Briggs & Stratton engine, a 20-horsepower Briggs & Stratton engine on alcohol, methanol. And the cars are about the size, well, they're little. If anybody wants to see when they can actually go on, they can go on our website and see the cars. But I've been running them since 2001. And off and on, my wife and I own teams. And then we sold our team, and then I've been driving for somebody last year, and then now this year I am driving for Steve Swanda, and we're going to run all over the place. You know, there's a couple tracks up here, one track named Linda Speedway, we're going to run for points there. But yeah, it's the Slingshot division, and I did get to run a couple different small car divisions at Grandview Speedway, but I was the announcer at Grandview for 10 years. Assistant announcer, I should say, at Grandview for 10 years, and I did that at a couple different racetracks here in the Lehigh Valley. So I've kind of done it all, if you want to say that. My wife and I promoted races. We had a small car series. We promoted at Grandview. So we've done it all, and I've been doing a radio show longer than I know my wife. So I've been involved in racing for a long time, whether it's NASCAR or it's local dirt track racing, whatever. I just love the sport. So,
do you know my buddy Ernie Saxton?
I do know your buddy Ernie Saxton. As a matter of fact, I was his assistant announcer for 10 years at Grandview Speedway. Very, very good friend of mine, yeah. I owe him a lot. I'm actually sitting in my office / my wife's sewing room. and I'm actually staring at a trophy that he gave me when you said that. I won the Jerry Glaze Memorial Award from him, and I'm sitting here staring at it. So it was really funny when you said, you know, my friend Ernie Saxon. I was looking right at the trophy when you said that. So, Vince, that was a little scary, I just want to say.
I can read mine sometime.
That's good. You've got a whole other career ahead of you too, Vince, man.
Yeah, but we didn't do a very good job of reading mine when we made our picks for the Martinsville race, Vince. That's all I have to say.
Vince, who'd you pick?
Well, I kind of played the numbers and said, well, he's been running good. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. And I'm sure
that would have been my pick, too.
Jimmy Johnson normally runs good at Martinsville as well, and she went with him, and both of them found the wall, whether on their own or with help.
Well, you know, I know Kristen. I met Kristen for the first time, you know, not long ago, but I have never met you, Vince, but I'm going to tell you, you both get a reprieve, because if I'm not mistaken, that was the first time in Oodles, I think that was his first win, right, Junior? So how could you have picked him? I mean, it wouldn't have been who I would have picked, you know?
Right.
Well, I know he runs well there.
Yeah. Well, he's running well everywhere this year. I mean, he's Junior is just, he's incredible this year, you know, and it was a shame to see him get bounced from the Chase, but I'll tell you what, that new format's crazy. It's interesting. Let's just put it that way.
It's interesting. I'll tell you what. Yeah, that was going to be my next question to both of you, was about how you feel about it. But if anything, I think it's turning some people against some drivers. You know, it's turning fans against drivers. Drivers are, you know, they're so passionate, they're so into it, obviously, and you know they just want to be in this chase, and they want to keep, you know, stay in it and keep winning and getting points. And I just think I personally don't know if it's the best thing for the sport. I think it's definitely keeping things exciting. I think it's definitely changing things up. But I don't know if I'm in total agreement. And I don't say that because my driver's not in it, because as we know, he is in it. So I, you know, he almost wasn't, but he is. So I say that purely, strictly, 100% as a fan, just watching.
Yeah, and as a fan, I don't know. I'm a traditionalist, so I'm a dirt track guy, you know. And I worked it. I worked at Mahoning Valley Speedway, so I have asphalt racing in my background too. But I'm a traditionalist. I like racing till the end of the year, and you crown a champion. I get what NASCAR's doing. I applaud them for trying something. But I'm just a traditionalist. It's not going to go back to that. I get that. But I'm a traditionalist. I like racing to the end and you crown a champion. You know, it got boring. You know, when guys are, you know, have a 300-point lead going into the last race, that's kind of boring. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At least this takes it to the end. It's a playoff system is what it is, like the NFL, like baseball, like football, like college football, whatever. I'll be honest with you. I've been watching it more to see who is left and who is going to be left over. And it's kind of interesting to see who is going to be interested. Now, I'm a Tony Stewart guy, so of course I'm rooting for Kevin Harvick, and Kevin Harvick had a horrible weekend. So now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have rooted for him at all. I think I jinxed him, but whatever. I think it makes it a lot more interesting. I do think it makes it interesting. This, when, as a traditionalist, I'm going to go back. I did not like it at all. I didn't like the chase. This, for a change, is probably the first time that I really liked since the change, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Vince, what's your opinion?
My opinion is this. Going back to what Pete is saying about being a traditionalist, I watched that year when Kenseth had a 400-point lead going into the last couple weeks of the season to win his one and only then Winston Cup championship. He was the last one to actually win that trophy. And when they came about with the chase, well, I can understand why they wanted to do that too, because you figure they're competing for the football dollar, as Kristen well knows. She got bounced from her TV set for an Eagles game. So, and you get the March Madness pool that you have in college basketball. They kind of went with something like that. So now you win to get in the chase. So that puts an emphasis on winning, where you're only before winning was an afterthought, because as long as you got points, you had a shot at a championship. So you can run 36 races a year with zero wins, second and third in them to death, as Dale Sr. used to put it, to win a title. Then when they went to the chase, up until like a couple of years ago, bonus points were the same. You got an extra one for a win. You got an extra one, you know, and the same ones for leading the most laps and leading the lap as well. So now you get three bonus points for a win, plus you're in the chase. So that makes it interesting. And if you can't win to advance to the next round, you have to run consistent in the top 10 to have the shot if you don't win, which comes into play this weekend, I was telling Kristen before you came on, is this the first chase race won by somebody not in or eliminated from the chase? So, therefore, no winner carries over into Homestead. So, now the next 2 weeks become important for the guys on points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have that blend of consistency plus winning and really makes it exciting. Plus, the elimination this way, if you have a bad week, you know, you're in a place where, like Keselowski was, going into Talladega, where if he wanted to move on, he had to win, and he drove his heart out to get it and took that win. And, of course, it didn't fare him too well this week, but he did what he had to do to get to this round.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, again, I keep saying it, but as a traditionalist, this is the first time that I'm interested. I mean, I'm interested now this year. I check it, you know, I check NASCAR all the time to see who is mm-hmm. there and what's going on. And at the end of the race, I'm always looking at the final standing to find out who's carrying on, who's moving on, who's getting left behind. So it has created, my question to you guys are, cause you guys are way big NASCAR, you do a NASCAR show where we do a dirt track show. I guess my one question to you guys is, Vince, I guess I know kind of what you just said, but does this interest you now, Kristen? Does this kind of make you a little more interested, or were you okay with the old format?
Well, I mean, I think it makes me a little more interested to a point, I guess you could say, especially like, you know, okay, there's me, Brad Keselowski fan. So I knew mm-hmm. my driver had to basically come home with a win. So now I'm sitting on the edge of my seat watching the Talladega race, literally hyperventilating, pacing the floors as we're getting to the end of the race, because here he is. Oh, my gosh. Like, who would have thought he could win this race? And he could continue on. I mean, so it was obviously extremely exciting, whereas, you know, if we were at Talladega and Brad was as high as he was in the points going into the chase races, he would have been safe no matter what. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I guess, yes, it does bring a different kind of twist to the fan watching at home. I guess I just kind of feel like, you know, these teams, and I apologize to anyone listening who likes one of these drivers I'm going to mention right now. However, these teams that got in this chase are Ryan Newman, okay? Well, Vince already knows my feelings on Ryan Newman. However, you know, I mean, really, like, I just look at his team, and I'm not saying they work any less hard than Jimmy Johnson's team or so-and-so's team or whoever's not in it who you expected to be in it. But I just look at that, and I'm like, wow, like here's this driver who could go on, possibly win a championship, and you have these other teams who just busted their heinies all season, and all of a sudden they're just out, they're just gone.
Yeah,
and I guess that
it is.
I don't know. It's just
it
so
is kind of final and fatal, isn't it? It's just like
I guess
what I was going to ask you, Vince, is because you're the NASCAR people. I'm curious because this feeds me for my show on Wednesday, but I guess the NASCAR thing. I guess people are still watching for their driver to win, even if they're out of the chase. So I guess that's what keeps the ratings up. But I guess what scares me is if you're down to four drivers, then, I'm a Tony Stewart fan. He's out. If Harvick gets bumped, he's out. What's going to prevent fans from saying, my driver's out of the chase, so I'm not even going to watch anymore? That would have scared me, but NASCAR took a big chance here, and hopefully it works out for them.
Well, let's put it this way. When I first started watching the sport back, I guess Kristen was just born or about 10 years old at the time.
Come on.
And I don't know how old you are. She might have been in diapers. She was swapping out the milk bottle for the juice bottle at the point. But now I used to like Dale Sr., but I always had a backup driver. This way, if my guy didn't win, I had another guy to root for. And, of course, it was never Bill Elliott, but, you know, it was Tim Richmond, Alan Kowicki. I had a few guys that I always pulled for if my number one couldn't get her done.
Right, right.
So, you know, like you like said, you like Harvick because you're a Stewart guy. And
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, Newman drove for Stewart last year. Now,
yeah, and I like Newman. I like Ryan Newman. Honestly, if Harvick didn't win, I would love to have seen – I want to see somebody else win, and that's what I'm hoping happens through this, that one team doesn't dominate like the Johnson team, like the Hendricks teams, that hopefully someone comes up – like a Ryan Newman rises above and gets himself a first championship. That would just kind of be cool, you know?
And
I think that's what this setup is for. And I think no matter if I am – a Brad Kay fan, a Jimmy Johnson fan, whatever. I mean, if you're a true, true fan of NASCAR and, you know, you're not just, you know, watching it for Dale Jr. You're actually like, you like the sport. You're watching it for the excitement and the action and the, you know, whatever the case may be. I think in the end, if someone does pull off a win who you wouldn't expect to, I think that would still even be exciting for a true NASCAR fan. Because it would be like, wow, like, that's crazy, you know? Like, Ryan Newman won the championship? Like, holy cow, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it would be good for conversation between NASCAR fans, because for radio shows like this, you know, I think it would definitely change a lot of things once that championship is over and won going into the next season. It's like, wow, like, now all eyes were on Jimmy Johnson all season, and now all eyes are going to be on Ryan Newman all season. Or...
Right.
To see how he performs this year. You know what I mean? Kind of, because I got to tell you, I mean, geez. Like, I'm so over the Jimmy Johnson thing. I'm just over it. Like, I listen, nice guy, so respectful to my son in the garage, is so nice to me as a reporter whenever it was time to interview him. I think he is a stellar athlete in the sense of his attitude and just also his ability on the track. Both. I think he's a man's man. He's very respectful, I think, to other drivers. I'm just sick of it. Jimmy Johnson.
The realist in me comes out, and of course, I'm that guy who goes, well, he wouldn't have won all those championships if it was the way it was. I'm that guy too, but I'm not just that way with Jimmy. I'm that way with anybody, because again, I go back to the way it used to be, and you know, change for me is hard. So I'm sitting here going, "Oh, he shouldn't have won all those championships, because he wouldn't have won all of them if it was the old way." You know, you know, change is good.
Yeah, and you know, that's probably what I'm saying right now about Jimmy Johnson. I'm sure there's people at home shaking their heads, going, "Yep, felt the same way about Gordon when what they called the Rainbow." Whatever.
Rainbow Warriors. Yep.
You know, and how many championships he won and how he dominated on the track. You know, there's people probably at home shaking their heads and going, yep, felt the same way about Gordon, you know, how many years ago. I guess this is the biggest long, drawn out answer I could ever give you, Pete, on how I feel about the new Chase. So I'm 50-50. Brings a great dynamic to the sport. You know, but then I do look at teams like my driver, who almost got eliminated after winning how many races this season, finishing top five, top ten, pretty much every single week, working their butts off every week in the garage, every week in the pit, and almost got bumped. That's where I guess my other 50% comes in.
Don't get me started on your driver. That's a whole different show.
I know. Not a fan of pride.
Vince, you got to listen to my last week's show. You'll understand exactly how I felt about Mr. Keselowski. I think he's a great guy, but I'll leave it at that.
You're just going by his post-race antics from the week before.
That's what I'm going by, yes.
Well,
I like his style.
I walked in to the radio show not knowing, he didn't know that I was a Brad fan. So he makes a comment about Brad on his show, and I'm sitting there like shaking my foot, you know, tapping my foot, like, really? Really? It didn't really faze me that much. But But still, it was just funny. But, I mean, even this last race, gosh, man, he ended as, like on everyone's SHIT list. He just can't, every week, it's just like Brad's not making many friends.
Well, let's put it this way. Good drivers don't need to make friends. I was, truthfully, Kristen, I watched Brad coming through when he drove for Junior. I said, this kid's going to beat somebody. And I watched how he drove. He don't take any crap, kind of in the mold of Stewart or Dale Sr., battles his way, isn't afraid to push and shove, take the push and shove it. All right, the little post-race incident from a couple weeks ago, that kind of grew out of some old NASCAR rules where they wouldn't let him have at it on the track, but a la Casey Kane and Brian Vickers yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right. And he said it. He said it himself. I don't need friends. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to race, and I'm here to win.
I agree. I agree with you 110%, Kristen. But my only problem with him is he's a past champion. Act like a past champion.
Right.
You don't have to go on. You don't have to start slamming people around. On pit road is the only time I had a problem with it. And then doing a burnout in the garage. That's where I had a problem. If you want to take care of it on a racetrack, you go right ahead and take care of it on a racetrack, because that's good ratings, that's good racing, that's good old fun. But when you and Vince, to your point, not putting up with any gump, I'm about that too. I'm all about that. And you know what? He is one heck of a talented race car driver. And that's, I guess, why I sit back and go, he doesn't have to do that stuff. He's that talented that he doesn't have to, but I guess boiling points go to where boiling points go, and, you know, you do things that sometimes you look back and you go, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that, and maybe he did that. But you're right. He didn't take any gump, and now maybe he has, a, you know, some guys have a little more respect for him because he's not taking that stuff from him, you know? So.
Well, let me ask you guys this, too, and, I mean, I don't know, Pete, how, you know, you don't follow NASCAR just as much as Vince and I do, but Vince, how was Brad when he first got into the sport? I mean, pretty good driver, but pretty reserved and kept to himself to a point. Do you think he's just getting very comfortable in, you know, in the fact that he is one of those top drivers on the track and he knows he can drive the heck out of that car? So now he's kind of coming out of his shell a little bit. Do you think that's what it is? Do you think he's just being a little cocky, a little... And not cocky in a bad way, but just being a little cocky, like, hey, I know I can drive my car better than you and better than you and better than you, and I'm going to show you I can on and off the track. What do you think, Vince?
I think the fact that his family goes all the way back into the ARC series, it's like Bob Keselowski driving old Chryslers, and I used to watch him, and then, you know, him coming up, and then his brother Brian, who's a total flop, he grew with the team he was with. I think he has a talent to make his equipment look better than what it was. And now the fact that he has a championship under his belt and Pete says acts like a champion, I think being a champion allows him to get, he can get away with a little more. Yeah, what he did was a little childish, but let's go back to Tony Stewart winning three and still being childish.
Right.
You want to take it there, Pete?
Well, yeah, but okay. Since you're going to say it that way, let's go down this road.
But see, Brad's a lot younger. He's going to have bouts of immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as seasoned as a multi-champion as Jeff Gordon, and he's not as poster boy as Jimmy Johnson. Dale Sr., yeah, he kept it on the track and. You were always looking over your shoulder when he was coming up on your bumper, or you wouldn't have to worry about it if he went past you. But you look at Dale Sr. and on older, they didn't do that. The younger drivers, being I guess they're so good so young, are still showing immaturity. I mean, even Kyle Busch has his moments, and he hasn't won a championship, but. I think once these guys get a bit older, they get a little wiser as well, and that has a tendency to want to, I think Brad will learn from it where some other drivers haven't.
I agree with you there. I think Brad's for the most part a level-headed kid. I think he just had enough that day. I think, like I said, my only problem was in light of, and we don't have to go into this, but in light of all the controversy around, and let me finish this statement, because I was pretty harsh on Tony Stewart, who I love a lot. I think he's a great guy, great for the sport. I was very harsh on him for what he did, backing up, you know, into Brad Keselowski. So this isn't all about Brad. This is about all that stuff between all those drivers on Victory Lane, in Pit Road, in light of all the stuff, the bad stuff, the negative press that's going on in racing, period, not NASCAR, racing, and we know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Calm yourself, relax yourself, use your head, because there are people standing around on that pit road. I've been on pit road. You guys have been on pit road after a race. There are hundreds and hundreds of people on pit road. You could hurt somebody. That was my only take on that. That was it. When you want to rough each other up on the racetrack, go for it. Rough each other on the racetrack. I don't think you'd do it to a point where you hurt somebody, and I don't think that any of them would ever do that intentionally, and that's not what I'm saying. But when you're on pit road with a bunch of driver or crew members and media and whatever else, don't be running into each other on pit road, you know. And, again, we weren't there. I wasn't there. Maybe you guys were there. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. None of us were in any of their heads. So, you know, I'm a race car driver. Have I lost my temper? Oh, absolutely I've lost my temper. Have I gotten out of a race car and gone at somebody? Yeah, I have. And now I look back at that and I go, I will never do that again. I won't, not when there's people around. You rub me on a racetrack, I'm going to rub you back. That's just the way it is. That's racing. Again, my only problem was, and not with just Brad. It was just, you know, you watch the highlights. People that don't know racing are going to look at that and go, oh, here they go with that sport again. You know, gosh, they're, you know, blah, 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 blah. You heard it. You heard all the negativity, and you still hear it, even though the outcome that came out of it, you still hear all these people with this negative racing. And that's the sport we love. And I don't want that sport getting drugged down because of shenanigans that could potentially hurt someone. So that's my whole thing. Yeah, Tony is a hothead. I'm going to be the first one to admit it. Way more of a hothead than Keselowski, I'm sure. But, you know, and he shouldn't have done what he did either. I mean, he shouldn't have done what he did, you know. But it's the heat of the moment. You don't think about things. The adrenaline is pumping. It's just, it's a whole different world when you're in that race car with a helmet on, you know. So I side with these guys, and I feel for them.
And what they should do, this might be worthy of a rule change, have them take an extra cool down lap before they come into the pits.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know when Keselowski got Kenseth, he was on the track when he did it. When he had they went after him when he came down pit road when Stewart backed in him. Now what he did was he scooted away in a hurry and did a burnout in the garage, which was probably. But he just wanted to get out of the car and get back to the hauler, and then next thing you know, Kenseth was jumping on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, and Vince, you know, I completely disagreed with partially disagreed with what Brad did that night, even as a Brad fan. No way in hell should he have done any of that on pit road, what he did. He should have never done what he did in the garage area. Granted, Hamlin was running him down into the garage area in the car. I didn't agree with any of that. What happened on the track happened on the track, and that's racing, and that's what makes NASCAR exciting. And, you know, it is what it is. I think that one of them said, I don't know if it was Kenseth or Hamlin, said he's a champion, he should know better. And I agree with that. I think he's a champion. Yeah, I think it was Kenseth. My 8-year-old looks up to Brad Keselowski. I don't want to have to explain to my 8-year-old why, you know, Brad, I mean, not that Brad did anything terrible and, like, horrible, but, you know, I don't want to have to explain to my 8-year-old, well, Nathan, here's what happened. yes, Brad was wrong, you know, da, da, da. And I know everyone makes mistakes. Everyone does things they regret. Everyone looks back on something and says, oh, my Lord, why did I do that? And I think that's exactly what Brad did at his win in Talladega. If you listen to him in Victory Lane, I think he must have apologized how many times, Vince? Like 4 or 5 times for his actions the week before. He knew they were wrong. He was in the heat of the moment. He was being a hothead. He was angry. He had raced all season so hard, and it was just about to be taken away from him, as in the championship. And I just think he just something flipped in his head, and that was it. It happens to all of us, I think. What he did wasn't right. Kenseth was, what, out of his belt? He wasn't in any of his safety harness, nothing. And I think he was right. He's a champion. He should have known that. He should have known not to do that. But, you know, I think we could argue it till we're blue in the face on who was right and who was wrong. And the bottom line is everyone was wrong a little bit. Everyone went about handling it in the wrong way. And hopefully it was just something that people are going to look at and say it happened. Okay, let's move on from it, and let's see who's going to win this championship.
When in doubt, spin him out.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I get into watching the sport and love it because of the roughness. I don't like to see anybody get wrecked or hurt or thing, but when they're beating and banging and trying to cut, like going around Martinsville with you have a groove and a half to get around the turns there, and they're leaning on each other. It makes it fun for racing. My first love was Flyers hockey back in the bully days, so NASCAR was just a natural transition.
Mm-hmm.
You just hit a good spot with Christy because I know she's a Flyers fan.
Oh yes, Flyers. Now, if they would have turned the race on yesterday to watch a Flyers game, I would have been a little less angry. I would have been turned on to watch the Eagles game, and I was not a happy camper. But I'll let them go this time.
Picture in picture.
Oh, I know, picture in picture. I got to get this picture in picture feature on my TV.
Like, if you have I don't know if it works with, see, I don't know if you got Comcast or I got DirecTV, so I got the DVR stuff, and I'm able to watch, you know, do the picture in picture right off the thing. But not that I'm plugging DirecTV, but I've had Comcast, and I know what kind of problems they create, but,
mm-hmm.
but that's neither here nor there. It's a matter of personal choice. But if you can get it, then you can watch both at one time. If, like, or like poor Kristen had to do is go find the other TV in the house.
I know that's all
I needed to do. But I'm like, you know, I'm very nosy. So the whole family's in the one room watching the Eagles game, and you know, so it's okay. I'm gonna stick around and do a conversation, and you know, whatever. But I obviously would have rather been watching the race. So then eventually I did go and find it and watch it. So.
Well, I don't know about Pete, but the other form of motorsports that gets back in action this weekend is the NHRA now. And they have a sort of a chase. They have what they call a countdown to the championship. So they're going into two races with each division having a good battle for their championships. So it kind of is going to be interesting when the NHRA gets back on the track this coming weekend. Yeah, thanks for correcting me on the date there. I thought it was last week.
It's okay. I'll let you pass on this one.
That's all right.
Nice of you.
That's why you're my co-host. Keep me in line.
I know. See, I got to keep you in line. I have a question for Pete though, because I know we're getting towards the end here. Let's talk about your racing season. So, you guys come to a close now, or like, are you still racing, or how does this work?
Well, the ride I had done, I'm done. I was slated, I guess you could call, because we don't have contracts or anything. We're not big time like that. I was slated for one track all year long. And I ran half the season there. The owner of the car, and I'll give him a nice plug, because his son just beat the World Outlaws at Port Royal, which his name is Ryan Smith, just beat Donnie Schatz this weekend. And that's a local team, Yonkel Kid. But they own a indoor track, which we're going to have to get you up there, Kristen. It's called S&S Speedways. And they are a sponsor of the Racers Roundtable program. And I drove his car this year. And I was only slated to run the action track in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. So I'm done. But there is still racing going on. Oh, absolutely. There's still a few slingshot races still going on. And matter of fact, we have just made arrangements to go down to an asphalt track in New Jersey. It's called Wall Stadium. You might have heard of it, Vince.
Yes, I have.
We're going to Wall Stadium to to record the Turkey Derby from down there. So we're going to do a show live from down there. And our driver we just had on last weekend was Zane Zeiner, who won at Wall Stadium that following Saturday night. And then, that Saturday before. So we had him on. And then this weekend he went to Mahoning Valley Speedway, and he finished second in his modified asphalt and first in his late model. So he had a really good weekend. But yeah, I'm done for the year as far as the ride I had. Now next year, Steve and I, the owner of the car, will talk, and we'll probably run deep into October. And we actually have a idea of carrying the pink and black colors next year in October, obviously to support breast cancer. So Steve and I talked about stuff here and there, and we'll see how the season goes. I mean, you know, racing on a low budget like I am, you race week to week, and maybe you don't go one week because you just don't have the money to go or whatever, but we were fortunate this year. We had a good year, and I'm ready to go back already, and it's the bewitching season, which is our off season, hasn't even started yet. So, but I'm ready to go back and start running. But to answer your question, again, long-winded life, Kristen, my friend, just did. But I'm done for the year as far as I'm done racing for 2014.
And you have some rules to follow, so you don't get fired before next season. That's you can't sing, you can't dance.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of rules. If you listen to the radio show, Steve was on the show. And Vince, does this sound fair? I'm not allowed to sing in the garage. I can't dance in the garage. I'm not allowed to do any of that stuff in the garage. He's going to fire me before I even get into the race car. So I have to be. I have to mind my P's and Q's during the winter.
Are you bad at it? Maybe that's
why. Yeah, I'm bad at it. Yeah, I'm really bad at it. But that's here nor there. I should be allowed to express myself.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm gonna let Vince in on a secret, everyone else listening at home. I saw you dance on Saturday, and I don't think you were that bad of a dancer. I think your wife might agree with me too. So I think I'm gonna be on your side for the dancing thing.
And were you in the this is really nothing about racing whatsoever, but were you in the game room at the campgrounds when I was singing Sweet Child of Mine?
Oh my gosh, you were fantastic. I have no idea where Steve is pulling this from.
Thank you.
I love that song.
So I'm not going to get fired. That's all there is to it, because I'm good.
Well, I love that song, too, Guns N' Roses. I mean,
that's one of the greatest songs ever, Vince. One of the greatest songs ever. I agree with you. Yep.
Well, Pete, thank you for coming on with us. Hope you had fun on Garage Talk Live. And, if you didn't, check it out. Last week, we went to talk about breast cancer. We had Shauna Robinson on, and we were talking to her about how her battle with breast cancer is going through. If you want to check it on Garage Talk Live podcast, go to blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. It'll be... Well, this show will pick up on the podcast at 10 o'clock, so it'll be the second one down.
Yeah, I had a ball love to come back anytime. You guys would love to have me. And Vince, I extend the offer to you sometime. Maybe you can come on our show and we'll talk to you a little about Garage Talk Live. We'll do a little cross promoting. That would be awesome. If you'd like to do that on a Wednesday night, we can call you and have you on our program. But I had a blast. I thank you both very much for having me on. I'd come on anytime you need me.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Well, I'll take you up on that. And it sounds like a plan. So I was telling Kristen about the motorsports show. You've probably been there in Oak, PA, that Ernie used to run.
Yep.
So I'll have to get her down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you go down to that, Vince? Because we're actually, I think we're in the negotiations, but last year we recorded the show from Motorsports on Saturday. And this year we've been talking to them about doing it Friday and Saturday. We take the show down there, record it, and then put it up. So if you're down in that area, be more than welcome. Come on over and make sure you introduce yourself to me.
Well, I used to cover the event up until I moved down here into Virginia. So when I was there, I used to go up there just every year. Just to Ernie give me credentials. I'd have Ernie on the show. We'd promote the thing and all that. Now my partner who handles my North extension, Tammy Allman, I don't know if you know her from Grandview, where she's a photographer / PR type and
yeah,
motorcycle racer. She was under the tutelage of Ernie at Grandview, so she's usually the one that hits the motorsports show for me these days now. And we used to hit them together. We get Kristen in there.
Well, we got to get Kristen down there, most definitely. Get her to the motorsports show, and I'm sure we'll get her down there because she's majorly into racing. Her son's majorly into racing, so we'll get her down there. We'll get her down there. It's a must-see show. You got to go down and see it, Kristen. It's a lot of fun.
All right, I'll be there as long as someone leads the way. How's that?
I will lead the way. My wife and I always go down for the weekend, so you can come down and we have a blast that weekend. We make it a whole weekend for ourselves. It's a kind of a tradition in our family, in our marriage, I should say. So, we have a lot of fun down there. Like I said, we did the show from down there last year, and we had a blast. So Shane Andrews was on the show. We had a lot of different drivers on the show, and Shane kind of co-hosted it with me a little bit. So, we had a blast. So I will let you guys go because I'm sure you guys want to talk a lot more about some NASCAR racing, and I'll hang up and I'll listen.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for doing this, and let me know how to get in touch with you, and we'll do a Wednesday together.
You got it. That would sound great. Tell your partner there, your partner in crime there, to give you my contact information, and then text me, call me, however you want to get a hold of me, email me, whatever, and we'll have you on most definitely.
All right, sounds great.
I'll make sure you get it, Vince. Don't worry, and we'll get you on there, Pete, or we'll get Vince on Pete's show.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be very cool. Cross promote. I'm always about the cross promotion. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on with us, Pete. And I'm sorry I exposed the secret that you are not a good singer or a dancer, but in my eyes you are. So you're all good.
I think I'm good. So that's all that's how I'm going to end it right there. I think I'm good.
Well, then your car owner. Then your car owner has issues.
Call me early in the year and see if I still have my ride.
Oh boy! All right, we will do so. And Garage Talk Live will have to check in with you once your racing gets going again next season and stuff. That'll be fun, Vince. We'll have them back on again.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Sounds like fun. All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you. All right, see ya. Bye bye.
Bye. Well, Kristen. Sounds like we're getting you more race ready. Maybe we ought to send you down to do that. Sounds like a WYLN feature you could do from the motorsports show.
There you go. And I could also do maybe like something for you for your show. We can figure this out, Vince.
We got time. We'll have to do this off the air.
We'll plan it out.
I don't want
everybody
knowing our plans. They'll steal them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you just got to know the right people, I guess.
I had to defend Brad. I know you're a Brad fan. I used to see all the pictures of you and Nathan in the pit crew.
Yeah, he's a big Brad fan. I told you that story. That was just the cutest how he picked him as his favorite driver.
Well, you know, that's pretty much how it works. See, I started out having a driver as a fan. Then when I started doing this, I had to be a little more objective. So when everybody says, well, who's your favorite driver? And I say, well, I don't really have one.
Right.
But even though,
well, I think I would be in big trouble with my 8-year-old if I didn't say Brad was my favorite driver. But again, as we've talked about, I'm very objective, and I know when he's wrong, and I can admit when he's wrong, or, you know, I'm not one of those diehard fans who walks around with wearing, like, a Miller Lite hat with number 2 on it and, you know, Miller Lite shirts and everything else. But, you know, if I had to cheer for one, he would be it.
Well, that's the journalist, and you have to put on that objective look.
How about it?
Well, when you're with Nathan, you're... Brad's the guy. I don't get
exactly.
I was looking. I'm always looking for somebody new to root for, and I keep looking for the women who, for some reason, haven't panned out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've gone through Janet Guthrie, who was racing in the 70s, like before I got into it. I was still in diapers. No, I wasn't in diapers in the 70s. But I was an elementary school kid. Then you had, you know, then when Shauna came up, I was going to root for her, and then I was covering Dover, and she had just started racing for BAM Motorsports, and she got canned right before they came to Dover by a few races. Darn.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that? Then, you know, I was following her up through it was then the Busch series. But she was the first woman to win a NASCAR pole in any series. She won a pole, and it was now a nationwide series. And on lap number 1, Mike Wallace wrecked her. It was Rusty's younger brother. And
well, I guess I didn't learn enough about – I didn't get to hear enough about Shauna's actual career because she was just so intriguing talking about – you know, her battle with breast cancer right now. Of course, we brought racing into it a little bit, but so we didn't really focus too much on her career. But that's really interesting to know. And go ahead. I totally interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. That's okay. That's what co-hosts do.
And I cut you off, but I want to hear about the rest about the women.
Well, you know, and then so you had Deborah Renshaw, who drove for Bobby Hamilton racing in the number 8 truck, and he had a Tina Gordon who used to drive in ARCA and in Nationwide, and they had Deborah and Tina Gordon had a hellacious battle in an ARCA race. I think it was Talladega, where they were trading paint for a few laps, and they wound up finishing 5th and 6th. And, you know, I've had both of them on the show. I mean, that's why I see whenever I try to promote the women drivers because they don't get the quality rides that I think that the guys are getting. And that's why I'm intrigued with the NHRA because you have women in that form of racing that are actually up for championships, whether it's in Funny Car with Courtney Force, who's battling her dad and one of the other drivers, or Erica Ender Stevens, who's in Pro Stock, battling a bunch of guys, and, you know, she wasn't leading the points up until recently and still got a couple of races to do it. You know, they're actual ones that have a shot at championship. You know, or Shelby Muldowney, who's won championships in Top Fuel. I mean, you know, it seems to be a sport where women have excelled in motorsports and have actually taken home titles. We had Johanna Long, who ran the Nationwide Series a couple of years in a substandard ride. And when Danica was running for Junior Motorsports, Johanna always finished better. She came on the show. Danica won't come on the show, though. I'd like to get us to interview her.
Have you tried to get her on?
Yeah. Her PR girl came back and said she doesn't do those kind of shows.
Oh. Okay.
Which I kind of take it as an insult. But, you know, people that have done Garage Talk Live, and I don't want to toot our horn here. Sam Hornish Jr., when he was driving Indy cars for Penske, won the Indy 500 and the IndyCar Championship that year.
Mm-hmm.
I had him on several times during when he was running last year's Nationwide Series race. He'd come on, have a few good runs, get back up in the points, and then dropping the points, and have him back on again. And then Truck Series champions, IndyCar champions, drag racing champions. They came on, they won. So I don't like to officially say we're a luck charm, but it's always nice to throw that out there every once in a while. But if you can get an interview with her, be my guest.
I can do my best. I can try.
You might, because you're on TV. If you do it for TV.
We can see. I'll see what I can do, Vince. We'll pull some strings.
You might have to use your TV celebrity instead of the radio thing, especially where we are now. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see what we can do. We'll get some big timers on the show. Danica would be awesome.
Yes, I would like to have her on. Add her to the list of female drivers that have been here.
Danica would be fun. You know, it's so crazy, the difference. Like, I think it's you either like Danica or you don't like Danica. There's no in between. There's just, you're either, like, you know, in her corner cheering her on, whether you're a Danica fan or not, or you don't want her on the track, you don't like her, you don't cheer her on, and that's just the end of it.
Well, I think, see, as I look at it, if she can make the races, she deserves to be there. And it's not that she's a star. She doesn't start in park. She finishes the races. She doesn't finish very well. But then there's times I think, well, she's up in the top 10. How can she, what does she have to do to get into the top 5? And there's, now, I don't know whether her drafting needs work or like a Talladega when she winds up dropping back, or she doesn't pull right up onto the bumper of the car in front of her to push it. You know, there's certain things that you can say about her that you could also say about Martin Truex.
Right.
Martin Truex, 2 straight Nationwide Series championships, got to the Cup Series, and he only has 2 wins, and how many years has he been driving? Okay,
right.
First time. This past year, he's not in the equipment he was with Waltrip Racing or DEI. And I look at the equipment factor of the driver and then put their talent up against it. And you look at a guy like Harvick, who went from a top-notch team at Childress into Stuart Haas equipment, which I didn't know how good that was going to be, because before Tony Stewart bought part of the team, they weren't that good either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I don't like the person, because I want to see them succeed, because if they succeed, that'll open the door for other young ladies that are ambitious enough and can drive at the lower late model or era late model, I mean the late model series, and have a chance to move up, but nobody will give them a break because, A, you got to bring your own money to the table now, which they didn't have to do before. I think that's where it hits a lot of them, where Danica has that GoDaddy sponsor. That helps. Where some younger driver doesn't have the name recognition to where they can lure a big-time sponsor. I mean, how did Dale Jr. and all get Napa for Chase Elliott? Now, there's a kid you're going to have to watch out for, because he looks like he's going to be really good. But
yeah.
we'll wait and see when they get to the Cup Series, and then they have a couple of years to go from there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see who is going to make their way into the Cup Series and be that next driver, as I put that in quotes. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to be the next Joey Logano?
Okay, here's a couple names to watch out for. I know he's got the 21 ride next year. Ryan Blaney. He'll be driving the Wood Brothers car, the one that Trevor Bain drives now. I think Trevor might be moving full-time with Roush Fenway now that Edwards is leaving. And there's a nice guy. You ever interview him? One of the nicest guys in the world.
He's extremely nice. Actually, I'm pretty sure I may have interviewed him at some point. I could be wrong on that. But, yeah, really nice guy. You know, I've seen him talk on TV, too, on, you know, some of the races.
I've had him on. He's been on, he's done the show when I was up in Jersey, and I got him at Dover. And then I went to get him again the next race at Dover. And they wouldn't let me have him because he was driving for Michael Waltrip Racing at the time. And then he went over to Roush Fenway. And getting their drivers is hard. I mean, I send out emails to their PR people. I never even get an answer.
Really?
Yeah. And Carl Edwards, another one of the nicest guys in the world. He gives his winning trophies to handicap people. I mean, that's a piece of story right there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've been to Dover, and I don't know if he was there when you were there, because I knew he had gotten hurt. Leroy, the dirty old man?
No, I don't know who that is.
Oh, he hits on all the women, and he don't care who they are. He's from the Pennsylvania area. He's an old-time dirt track racer, and then he turned photographer, and he's usually down there with Dean Patton, who's a photographer for RIS,
okay.
Racing Information Services. It's in, he's also a judge in Reading. He's a friend of mine. So if you ever get caught in Reading, tell Judge Patton you're a friend of mine. He's got his Facebook page is Pat Sports Photo. But he usually hangs around, and you know, we were sitting in the media center at Dover. We're doing the press conference, and Carl Edwards saw Leroy there with his old beat-up Kane Ismail. He was doing that, and then he told this PR guy, and then Leroy says, come to my motorhome tomorrow. I'll give you my cane. His fancy-dancy one that he had after when he got better from breaking his leg in it. And then he autographed it for him and everything.
Really?
Yeah. I ever want to have on the show or have a lot of respect for and want to see win a title will be Carl Edwards.
I like Carl Edwards. I think he is kind of like Jimmy Johnson. He's kind of like the all-around talent, but like good guy, good head on his shoulders. You never really see him get upset or angry or, you know.
Oh, he got angry with Brad Keselowski at Talladega one time.
Did he really?
Yeah, what happened was they were going for the win, fair racing.
Uh-huh.
Brad went low, Carl went down to block him. Brad got into him, slid him into Ryan Newman. And the way Edwards car caught Newman's, it got airborne and rode the fence. And a couple races later, Edwards went and flipped Keselowski over.
Must have missed that, or it's just not ringing a bell.
That's
in my head.
It was Keselowski's first ever Sprint Cup win. He was driving the 9 car for, was it Phoenix Racing? And he was driving, still driving Nationwide for Junior.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I think after that, right after that, I think after he got that win and all, Penske signed him first, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. Very cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Carl Edwards and him had a little quarrel at one point.
But Carl is more down to earth than Jimmy Johnson. I don't know how much of what Jimmy Johnson does is a persona when he's out in public.
Mm-hmm.
But Carl Edwards seems to be a lot more down to earth from what I can gather on the two of them.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Yeah. Good driver, too.
That's why I'd like to see him win a championship as well. But if he can do it with, is he still in it? Let me see. Let's see. Who's in the top eight? Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is, right? Yeah.
Still in the top eight. So he's got a shot to do it. And we're going to Texas. So that's going to be pretty interesting, going into Texas. Now. Because you got Texas, which is sort of kind of like Charlotte high speed with the banking, the double dog leg, mile and a half. And then they go to Phoenix. So going into Texas, let's see who's done what here at Texas. I'm bringing up the charts here. All the stats that's pull up. You know what? I have to get you hooked up with the NASCAR media website if you don't have if you're not connected to that already.
No, I don't. You have to definitely hook me up with that. I already know who I'm picking for Texas, then. I'm already on top of this.
Okay. This past year at Texas, it looks like, guys that are in the chase have a shot to do it. Except for maybe, is Kyle Busch still in the chase? No, he's done now, I think.
Nah, he's done.
Okay. So, from what I can gather, there's no past one that was held in April. Logano won that one. So he's got a good shot at this weekend. But then you also have Gordon, Kyle Busch, Vickers, Kyle Larson, Biffle, and Kenseth. So you can't say one make of car has the upper hand here because they're all in the top five.
Right.
I
don't know.
Brad wound up 15th, but he started second. And you know him and Logano for some reason and qualifying near the top couple of rows. So he must have had something go wrong.
But he has luck from the back, too. I've seen Brad qualify terribly and win a race.
Yeah, so you can't count him out. So what I'm saying is he qualified second, but he wound up 15th. So something tells me he screwed up a pit stop.
Something.
At the wrong time of the race. Because he did get bonus points for leading laps, and he actually led 85 of them out of 304. So
really?
He led the second most amount of laps next to Logano, who won the race. And the guy who led the third most amount of laps was Stewart, 74. So this is how I usually make my picks. I see who does what, started where, finished where, and see why they finished where they finished.
Right.
So if they qualified good and they're running near the top, they're still on the lead lap a little ways back, something tells me they screwed up a pit stop, especially if they led a lot of laps, which 85 is a good number. Now, if they finished down there at the bottom, then you know they had mechanical problems.
Yeah.
So who are you thinking? So, you know, I'm going to narrow it down to between Jeff Gordon, who finished second, or Joey Logano. But I can't rule out a guy that's not in the chase either, like a Kyle Busch or a Brian Vickers, because they came from further back and finished in the top 5. At least Bush led a lap. You know, I'm going to go with Jeff Gordon on this one.
Wow! Are you kidding me? So am I.
All right, then I'll take Logano. I'm going to take the same person.
I'll take Logano because we all know he's a Penske driver, so I'm cool with that. I definitely, though, was going to go for Jeff. I don't know why, but even, even before today, I had it in my head thinking, you know what, when Vince asks me, I'm picking Jeff this week. I don't know.
Oh, sounds like you were taking all that nonsense, all that data I was giving you in formulating it, and then you read my mind.
Nah, I don't know why I picked Jeff, but hey, I'll go with Logano, you go with Jeff. How's that?
No, you can have Jeff if you want.
It doesn't matter. Like I said, Logano's a Penske driver. I'll take him.
You sure?
Yeah, I'll take Logano. You have Jeff. We'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
We'll flip-flop our picks this week and make it interesting.
Okie doke. I guess we should promote you this coming Wednesday at WYLN, anchoring the late edition at 10 p.m. Well, that's a long day for you, isn't it?
Yeah, those are my 18-hour days. So I'm going to rest up tomorrow night big time for Wednesday. But that's okay. I like it. It's fun. Keeps me in the mix of things. Lets me still do something I love to do, but still be a mom.
Yeah. That's something else I wanted to talk to you about, but I don't feel like texting it. Was the offer you got. I mean, you can't beat that with a stick. It looks good on a resume if you had that, you know?
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Come to WVVA in Bluefield, West Virginia, which is about 20 miles from here. It's an NBC affiliate if you want to get out of Pensy. Then you can go to Bristol and Martinsville and all those tracks.
Exactly. If I could, I would be out of Pennsylvania in a second, and I would be south somewhere. So that would definitely be an option. I don't count that out for the future. Going somewhere south, but we'll see. I'll definitely keep you and everyone updated on that. We won't divulge too much information, but.
Nah.
It's a good thing.
So how do you like co-hosting for the past couple weeks? You think you want to try it again next week?
Oh, yeah, sure. If you want me back, I'll come back. I just hope.
I don't know. I'm having fun talking to somebody. It beats me doing all the talking myself.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's fun. I love getting to chat with you every week and touching base here and there during the week and keeping up on each other's lives and in the race. Following what's going on and then talking about it Mondays. It kind of broke up my day. I had one of those Mondays today where if I could have restarted this day and done it again, I definitely would have. So doing the show tonight with you again has definitely broken up the day and made it a lot better and having Pete on and everything. So that was fun.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. All right, Kristen, so I'm going to go to our Garage Talk Live page after that. If you want to write anything and post it on the Garage Talk Live page, feel free.
I definitely will. I just want to, really quick, I want to let everyone know, since you're going to be hopefully on the show, the Pete Show Racers Roundtable.com. You can get that on your mobile phone, your iPad, wherever you want to listen to it. So hopefully we'll get you on, and then all your listeners can pick it up on their cell phones or however they want to hear it and listen to racersroundtable.com. So that was fun having someone local from my end on. Last week we had Shauna. We'll have to see who we're going to have next week.
I think I'm going to see if I can get me one of them drag racers. So we'll have to bone up on a new subject.
That'd be fun.
All right, Kristen, let's say goodbye to everybody, and we'll talk to them next Monday night. Wow, we're heading to November. Halloween. Take little Nate around trick-or-treating on Friday.
We are. We're going trick-or-treating, and then we're going to an amusement park called Dorney Park for their – they have, like, a Halloween haunt. So we're going to go to that late night, but to like midnight. So that should be fun.
Ooh, sounds like fun. Lots of hijinks there.
Yeah.
Dorney's been there forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, my son and I have season tickets. So we go there a lot during the summer, and now they have this special thing during Halloween. So we're going to go out, get a little candy, and then head to Dorney Park and get scared and all that good stuff.
That sounds like fun. All right. So we'll say goodbye to everybody from Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli with Kristen Buzinski. Good night and good racing.
Good night, everyone.
It's my sign off.